For WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. More arrests at peace protests on campuses in the Commonwealth, the crafting of a new state budget, and legislative attempts to address the housing crisis. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, April 30th. Lawmakers began meeting in Richmond today to craft a new budget proposal after Governor Glenn Youngkin made major changes to the original spending plan with 233 amendments and vetoes. Sandy Hausman reports on prospects for an agreement.
At a Democratic Party fundraiser in Albemarle County, House Speaker Don Scott sounded ready to make a deal with the governor to quickly approve a new budget.
The governor has some views that are a little bit different, and we want to make sure that we try our best to meet him in the middle so we can get this budget done because so many are dependent on it.
Like schools and local government, they need to know how much state funding they can expect. Senator Creed Deeds said companies that provide credit ratings also needed to see that Virginia's government was reliable.
We've got this AAA bond rating we've maintained since 1938. That keeps our borrowing costs down for just about every project that we construct in Virginia.
Scott and Deeds agreed the new spending plan should provide more funding for public schools and higher education. They also hoped Virginia would begin to tax software purchased and downloaded from the internet, something Speaker Scott said our neighbors already do.
Tennessee, Maryland, Washington, North Carolina, South Carolina, they're smart enough to have closed those loopholes.
And Deeds hoped the governor would consider returning to the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, a program that requires polluters to pay for protection from and damage caused by storms.
That brings hundreds of millions of dollars back to Virginia for flood control and for resiliency projects.
And the governor has a way of saving face if he wants to approve a return to RGGI and full funding of other programs advanced by Democrats. Since his office first calculated future revenues, it has found an additional $1 billion to spend. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Multiple people were arrested late Monday at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond during a protest against the Israel-Hamas war. VPM News Managing Editor Donthea Price-Lisco has more.
VCU students began implementing a, quote, liberation zone early Monday, calling for the public school to cut financial ties it may have with Israel. By 8:40 p.m., law enforcement clad in tactical gear began arresting protesters. In a statement, the school says the protest violated several policies and that people could be arrested for trespassing if they didn't leave. In Virginia, just under 100 people total were arrested and charged with trespassing at encampments at Virginia Tech and the University of Mary Washington over the weekend. Roughly half of those were students. The protests echo calls nationwide for both divestment and a permanent ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Also over the weekend, Governor Glenn Youngkin said on CNN that intimidation and encampments will not be permitted on Virginia campuses. Donthea Price-Lisco, VPM News.
Virginia Tech police now say that they arrested 82 people late Sunday night and early Monday when they broke up a days-long protest on that campus. 53 are current Virginia Tech students, according to a revised statement. Roxy Todd reports they were charged with trespassing.
Beginning Friday morning, students occupied a grassy lawn in front of the Graduate Life Center on Virginia Tech's Blacksburg campus. Among their several demands, protesters say they want the university to disclose any financial ties to companies that promote the war in Gaza. Over the weekend, protesters sang, danced, and held informational workshops about labor history. By Sunday, the crowd grew to several hundred people. Protesters remained peaceful, but emotions were high. Police, campus administrators, and organizers spent much of Sunday in a standoff, according to one of the student organizers, Iman Green, who had this to say around 5 p.m.
A bunch of people linked up arms, and when they come back at 8:30, we'll see what the situation is then and how best to respond.
A few hours later, police returned, driving vans, and began handcuffing protesters, including Green. The university issued a warning to avoid the area, and the crowd grew as more people, curious of what was happening, came to watch the scene unfold. Police put 82 protesters into vans, drove them off campus, and charged them with trespassing. The university released a statement stating the protest was in violation of campus policy, partly because so many people were gathered around numerous campus spaces. University President Tim Sands also responded to the incident, saying he was disappointed to see division, and he supports free speech, but not when people break the law or create a threat to safety for others. In Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
A federal appeals court has ruled that West Virginia's Medicaid program must cover gender-affirming surgeries. Curtis Tate of West Virginia Public Broadcasting has more.
The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, upheld a lower court ruling Monday on a vote of 8-6 that the state's Medicaid exclusion violated federal law. The 4th Circuit ruling also applies to North Carolina's health insurance program for state employees. The states had argued that cost, rather than bias against transgender beneficiaries, was behind excluding gender-affirming surgeries. West Virginia's Medicaid program does cover hormone therapy, office visits, counseling, and lab work. The court's majority found that the state's exclusion did not apply to the same procedures, such as mastectomies or breast reductions, for patients with cancer or excess breast tissue who are not transgender. Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, a candidate for governor in the state's Republican primary, said he'd appeal the case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Housing continues to be a leading issue in Virginia, and a number of bills to increase availability and speed up construction survived during the recent legislative session. Brad Kuttner takes a look at two of the higher-profile bills that were signed by Governor Glenn Youngkin.
Democratic Senator Skylar Van Volkenburg says housing issues can get addressed in one of three ways in Virginia: by regulation, zoning, or in the budget. Elected officials try to avoid getting into regulation. It's usually managed under the state's Department of Housing and involves professionals in the field making or removing rules. But Van Volkenburg said the legislature can urge regulators to act, hence his bill, which tells the Board of Housing and Community Development to study updates to fire safety rules. One update Van Volkenburg would like to see is an increase in the maximum number of floors a building with a single staircase can have, from 2 to 6.
In the name of getting more housing online, getting more, especially more affordable housing online, when you can build more units.
Republican delegate Kerry Coyner sponsored a number of housing efforts, but only a few got over the finish line. Among them was an extension to the state's eviction diversion program, a request from the state's Housing Commission, which she's a member. The program allows a tenant who faces an emergency to enter a court-ordered payment plan. She said the state hasn't yet collected enough data on the program's use, and her bill extends it for another year.
You know, our goal is to keep people housed and to keep landlords paid up on rent.
Governor Glenn Youngkin also offered amendments to a number of housing bills, with many rejected by the legislature. He has until mid-May to act on those returned to him. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
A body was found in the George Washington National Forest in Highland County earlier this month. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The Highland County Sheriff's Office confirmed that a person's body was found in the National Forest along Service Road 396 on Saturday, April 20th. The road meets U.S. Route 250 near the Confederate Breastworks Interpretive Site and Shenandoah Mountain Trail. A dispatcher with the sheriff's office told WMRA that the person's death is still under investigation and their identity has not yet been released. We'll continue to report on this story as more information is made public. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
The 2025 Lieutenant Governor race now has a fourth candidate, though the contest won't be on ballots for another year. WRIC reports that State Senator Ghazala Hashmi, a Democrat representing Chesterfield County and Richmond, has filed campaign paperwork with the state. She joins a field that includes State Senator Aaron Rouse of Virginia Beach, Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney, and Dr. Babar Latif, chair of the Prince William County School Board. Party primaries for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general will take place in June 2025. New environmental rules from the federal government may help clear the air here in Virginia. Michael Pope reports.
Clean up your act or shut down. That's the message from the Environmental Protection Agency to power plants that use fossil fuels. The new rules issued last week are aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And Lee Francis at the League of Conservation Voters says they'll also limit future plants that use natural gas.
In a state that has plans to get completely away from fossil fuel generation by 2045, we don't think building new fossil fuel power plants is economical or in line with existing policy.
Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith is a member of the Congressional Coal Caucus, and he says the new EPA rules will have alarming consequences for the reliability of the electric grid. But Tim Sawinski at the Sierra Club disagrees.
I'm glad that we're talking about reliability because it is an issue we need to talk about. But there's no substantial evidence that shows that limiting this amount of pollution and protecting people from air toxins is going to hurt our energy reliability. We have to increase power in the energy sector to keep the lights on, but we can do that without the trade-off of making people sick.
He says the next step for the Biden administration should be to tighten rules for existing natural gas power plants, especially with the growing demand for power from data centers across Virginia. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. Thanks for listening.